Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by Mobius Strip Press. I am G.R. Mobley. If you go to my site, reclaimingtherepublic.org, you will have access to my content and support documents and links. This is an educational grassroots program leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again.
Welcome back. We're going to cover the debates in our next episode, but what we're going to do is we're going to get into the marketing since we're all kind of already in that space. But our views on the debate will not be like the typical analysis and hopefully help you tune yourselves towards maybe the, if you're going to be watching the debates, maybe towards the debates tonight. But what we want to do is one thing you won't hear in the debate, you won't hear a lot of deep discussion of what's constitutional, what isn't constitutional. As a matter of fact, what's the best way to say this? Because bottom line, both sides really don't understand the Constitution. One supports the premise of liberty. The other one supports subjugation, the concept of actually forcing people to live in a certain way. I mean, that's what they've been doing in the education system, and that's what's being, you know, deployed into the communities. They're never going to talk. The left is never going to say anything about decimating families and basically changing the bedrock of society to a state-ran institution instead of a family as the nucleus of society. And to do that, what they have to do, what they've been doing, is they've been taking over the education system. And it's too often. I mean, Hillary mentioned the word in her book, but it's too often you hear these people use the term religious dogma. The fact of the matter is, friends, they have zero respect for any type of religious doctrine out there. If you're not godless, then you're the problem. Anyway, let's just dive into some of these things that G.F. Griffin's pointed out and some things I've added to the pile. We'll get into some, you know, quick things that we need to get into, but we got to cover the obligatories. This show is also sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org as well as RepublicReview.org. This is the only show that provides you the academic-based evidence and academic-based evidence solutions in getting the general government back into the framework of the Constitution, as well as your state and local governments. We hope and pray that you are pondering on your role and responsibility in using your First Amendment rights of petition, demanding common law grand juries be formed to actually start clarifying what is legitimately constitutional, what isn't, as well as your responsibility in being a member of, whether you like it or not, you are a member of the militia. If it's an unorganized militia, I get it. You don't have to report. You are unencumbered with training and those types of things. However, I would just say that if you don't have a gun, or if you do have a gun and you're not familiar with firing it, you should at a minimum be going out and doing target practice and, you know, techniques and tactics and procedures in improving your marksmanship and so forth. So anyway, let us kind of move forward. I'm not going to ponder too much on, you know, the social justice or anything else, but we will as the opportunity comes up. Because one of the things that has been mentioned by the news is whether Trump is going to support a smooth transition. See, what they're basically dropping the line is you're going to lose, and we want to make sure that you're willing to support a smooth transition of power to go to Joe, because they already believe the fix is in. That's why they're framing it the way they are, because the perception is going to be, oh, well, he won. We will never know the real outcome unless we truly audit this entire election. And so with that, and the fact that he has folks, if you don't understand the importance of cleaning up your House representatives in Congress, as well as your state, now is the time. Every 2 years you get a chance of doing it. Now is the time to make sure that you get a good constitutional level. Yeah, the last thing we want to do is vote blue. As a matter of fact, it's really clear out there. Vote blue no matter who. We want to make sure that we don't vote the communists, because bottom line, the communists are in open rebellion against our constitutional republic. Let me thank you for tuning in. I would ask you that you would please help us grow this show. And with without any other further ado, let's just dive into some marketing. Now, G. Edward Griffin pointed out that have you ever heard of a color revolution? Now, apparently, Darren Beatty of Revolver News explained that the U.S. is now caught in a regime change coup known as a color revolution. And one of the main characteristics of this operation is an engineered, contested election combined with massive, peaceful protests. This strategy has been used in Eastern Europe, and the same people who orchestrated these coups are involved in this one against Trump. Norm Eisen is Obama's former ethics czar and is behind over 180 lawsuits against Trump. He authored 10 articles of impeachment against Trump, and he was a special counsel to the Democrats for the impeachment process. Regime change professionals like McFaul, Eisen, George Kent, and others use the same tools, the same tactics, and quite literally the same playbook. And one thing that we can mention, because we're not going to be censored here, George Soros appears again and again and again as a financer behind the protest, behind this cause, behind all of these players. And so this is something that just happened in Ukraine. Have you ever heard of the color revolution? Well, you may want to read up on it. You may want to look at what the heck's going on, because this is all about manipulation. I'm sure everybody that has listened to this show for any period of time understands that there are different ways and that they are constantly trying to manipulate us. Social media in 2016, it was proven that Russia and Facebook and social media owners and platforms themselves tried to manipulate people to vote a very specific way. So if you like living in an echo chamber, then that's exactly what you get when you get more and more blue power. If you like hearing, let's just say, differences of opinion and differences of ideas and a variety of solutions, that's where liberty stands. But when you are involved in a draconian and or a statist communist ideology, there's only one solution, and it's their solution, and that is it. And again, I keep on telling you, the ends justify the means, period. That's exactly what they're going to do. That's what they're going. They're not going to tolerate any deviation to their plan. Now, this goes on to, because we just mentioned Soros. Now let's talk about something you probably heard, because maybe this is old news to some of you. Maybe this is new. You've not heard this. But you probably know that Newt Gingrich, a few weeks ago, I think, at least a couple weeks ago, was on the Harris Faulkner's, Overtime or whatever. Anyway, he was on the, and as if you didn't know who Newt Gingrich is, he's the former Speaker of the House, was shut down by Harris Faulkner. Actually, not by Faulkner, but by a couple of her co-hosts that, guest hosts. And Marie Harf, a former Obama administration State Department staffer and CIA analyst, when he blamed liberal progressive prosecuting attorneys who have been funded by billionaire George Soros for the violence and $2 billion in property damage caused by the rioters. Most damage from riots is not covered by insurance. Gingrich said that the Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have praised progressive district attorneys who are anti-police, pro-criminal, and the major cause of the violence we are seeing because of the prosecutor's release, because they keep on releasing these criminals back out onto the streets. It's almost a revolving door, Ms. Faulkner then told Gingrich that she wasn't sure Soros should be brought into the conversation because, and as a matter of fact, she wasn't the one that said he did, you know, oh, don't be going there. You had, you know, they basically shut him down. And she kind of supported it, but she actually came back out and she apologized. She said, there's no room on my show for differences of opinion or for not accepting the differences of opinion. Let me be clear. She actually kind of cleaned it up. But the fact is that she has guest hosts on that want to make sure they have a very tight control of the narrative. Soros's funding is perhaps the most important single cause of the growing street terrorism and communism in America and in other countries as well. The fact that this is taboo for public discussion at the supposedly conservative Fox News and even the White House is a powerful evidence of controlled opposition. Do you understand controlled opposition? Opposition that's out there that only holds to a very specific narrative to keep you focused. In other words, a controlled opposition is, in essence, the left in control of the news. They're the left in control of the John Birch Society and so forth because they're controlling the message. No. We don't want real solutions. What we want is we want people to get mired down and bogged down into these things that won't work, things that are proven not to work, such as this concept that we're going to educate our way out of this mess. Sorry, friends. Like I said, we've kind of lost that battle. But when we come back, we've got more news and more information that has happened over the past couple of weeks that I think you, if you haven't heard about it, this is definitely something that you need to at least hear about and or have a conversation. We'll be right back after this. Thank you so much.
Folks, I'm constantly providing you with case after case and giving you both the empirical information as well as irrefutable academic evidence that the federal government is operating well outside the bounds of the Constitution. In measuring outlays, the federal government is spending over 80% of your tax dollars on unconstitutional government. This is why we don't need a balanced budget amendment. We just need to enforce the Constitution. So what is it going to take for you to take a stand in getting the federal government back into the framework of the Constitution? To be clear, the solution is simple and does not require much work on any one individual, especially if everyone contributed to the effort. We only ask that you make a commitment today to contributing however you can and make the difference necessary for our posterity's sake. Send me an email at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org. And let me know how you'd like to help so we can help you save our republic.
If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the republic review model on reclaimingtherepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how republic review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you.
Okay, so the number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK or 215-867-8255. Do not forget my three C's when you dial in. And let's get on with the dialogue.
Okay, so you remember how they used to use this this labeling, quote-unquote, for the Republicans, the party of no, and these types of things, and how that kind of in the past decade, that's kind of been turned around to where the Democrats have been called the party of no. Let me ask you, because I mentioned this in our previous episode, that the Democrats, the communists, are the shutdown government, shutdown everything party. They have shut everything down. We've gone through this. Why is it that the Republicans are not using that as the marketing strategy, as the Democrats are the shutdown party? Why are people not using? I'm not even seeing this. So I'm asking you, if you're involved in the party, you need to start sharing and getting the message out and helping socialize, quote unquote, socialize the concept that, hey, the Democrats are the shutdown party, that these politicians will do anything necessary so that they can push us in the direction of the ways they want to control us. It's all about control. And they use the shutdown to actually exercise that. So while you watch the debate, while you listen to the dialogue back and forth, how many times are you hearing the Democrats being forced to own this concept of shutting down? I don't care if you had a Democratic candidate or what have you. The concept of shutting down and the mantra of shutting down is literally the narrative from the left. Just remember that. And so start challenging the people. When you talk to somebody that says, how can you vote for Republican? Because they do not support the shutdowns anymore. We got bit by the left narrative. Look at how we've been decimated as an economy and so forth. And they have no constitutional standing in doing this. They don't have the power to do this. You need to start getting involved in defending liberty and defending the Constitution. And again, marketing's powerful, so start labeling the Democrats as the shutdown party. Anyway, Gia Griffin, in this next little contribution, Democrat operatives pretending to be advocates for women sent a memo to the media organizations cautioning against criticism of vice presidential nominee Kamala Harris under the threat that critical coverage will be declared racist and/or sexist and that it can destroy a journalist's reputation. Now, I'm going to take an aside real quick. I know a few people that are trying to pursue getting Kamala Harris removed from the ballot in some of these red states because she is an illegitimate citizen. She is not a naturalized citizen. She cannot become president of the United States. Her parents were non-citizens when she was born. They were not subject to the United States as citizens. Therefore, doesn't matter if she was born here. She was born to parents who were not subject to. Therefore, she took the citizenship of her parents. Half Indian, I think, and half Jamaican or whatever. Bottom line, she was not a U.S. citizen. And there is more than enough to challenge the legitimacy of her being able to become president. Because the standard for president is the same for the vice president as well. Anyway, I'd love to see that move forward. There needs to be legs on this because this is all about Kamala Harris, at least this part of this story that J. Edward Griffin is putting out. He also said that they wrote, quote, "We intend to collectively and individually monitor coverage, and we will call out those we believe that want to take our country backwards with sexist and or racist coverage. As we enter another historic moment, we will be watching you." See, they're already talking about entering their next step of the revolution. The women who signed this warning include Democratic operatives like Valerie Jarrett of the Obama administration, individuals associated with Planned Parenthood, Emily's List, and NARAL. And so, folks, they're very united and very organized. What really kills me is you cannot, for the life of me, I cannot understand why people can't put aside their differences like the framers did on the conservative side and unite. It's like those people I mentioned, those pseudo-conservatives, you know, it's their paradigm and to heck with you. I'm going, are you kidding me? apparently some people do not understand that old adage, united we stand, divided we fall. And they actually contribute. These organizations contribute to the division in America, division amongst the conservative ranks. You know, I constantly point out to people, I constantly tell people that the Republican Party is a party of factions and division. When you have organizations within the Republican Party that call themselves the Women's Republicans, Hispanic Republican Caucus, or the Black Republican Caucus, or these are all factions that are all taking a position to favor a very specific slice of the demographics. And I'm going, this is just wrong. When we become a united front, and this is the one thing I tried to do in the Spokane area back in 2016, 2017. And we had these meetings in 2017. I had the Republican, the Libertarian, and the Constitutional Party chairs for the county there, as well as state. I had a couple of the state chairs there. We had the militia. We had other Tea Party activists and so forth. There were lots of people present. And in this meeting, I basically said the adage is resonating loud and clear in Spokane. If you want to actually start changing the outcome of these elections to a conservative slant, you have to unite. And the one thing that everybody here all agrees upon is the Constitution. Put aside your differences and take your stand on the Constitution. It's that simple. But did we get anybody to do that? No. As a matter of fact, the founder of this Republican club that uses the Republican Spokane County, like, you know, they're an official group. Anyway, that the founder deliberately did things to basically sabotage and to undermine this concept of unity. And in essence, has basically constantly assisted in this bad player sheriff in Spokane County to be able to continue to be divisive and to wreak havoc, and at the expense of property, at the expense of our liberties and so forth. I'm going, are you kidding me? Why is it that these people just don't get it? And I'm asking you, why is it that when you're looking at conservatives, why can't they put aside their differences and stand and unite on the Constitution? Why? Well, because everybody thinks that they're going to have their own little narrative. Look at the left and how willing they are to work together to promote communism and their statist government. Anyway, so let's move on to the next story. So this next story, and this is kind of interesting. A woman attacked an apartment security guard with a machete. I don't know if you know what a machete is, but it's kind of like a large blade that you swing around, that you cut underbrush and that type of stuff with. And so she basically attacked the security guard with a machete after hurling insults at him and demanding to know if he was law enforcement, if he was a law enforcement officer, according to the police. So the police are reporting or providing this as their report. An apartment security guard who was wearing a vest with the word officer printed on both the back and the front was attacked with a machete by a 32-year-old woman who screamed insults at him and asked if he was a police officer. The security guard and the witness ran into the building but received two knife wounds or whacks or hacks by this machete in his arm as he tried to close the door. The unidentified woman escaped in her car but was arrested at a nearby gas station. And you go, oh my gosh, people are that rabid. You cannot tell me that people that are on the left are looking for an honest and logical cognitive discussion on, you know, the issues, their position, and so forth. They are hardwired to get what they want, and they will do anything to get it. I mean, the ends justify the means. How many times do I have to say this? Anyway, in our next one from G. Edward Griffin, before we kind of get into this, I'll give you a little editorializing. We have had a banner year in what we would call arson, or let's just call a fire. But I will tell you that the news media has deliberately buried the causes of every single fire. And as a matter of fact, if you look at how many fires, we're talking in the ranks of hundreds of fires that were lit, that were started in the West Coast from Washington State down to California and into some of the other states such as Idaho, Wyoming, and so forth. The question is, how is it that we had so many fires? The fact of the matter is, and I can tell you right now, that when we were in California, many of the fires we found out to either be, they were man-made of one form or another, whether it was the power lines going down, or whether it was because the bottom line, SDG&E got their hands caught in the till for failing to upgrade and keep the grid up. And so they have this huge lawsuit that they've lost. We'll be right back on this issue right after this.
The reason progressives are effective in instituting their policies is because they are united ideologically, financially, and socially. In addition, almost every billionaire in the world is funding a vast array of different groups, and these groups' efforts are to undermine our republic and our Constitution. If you don't believe me, just Google donors to the Open Society Foundations. The only way we're going to successfully combat these efforts and take back our liberties, like our education system, health care, state lands, housing, labor, and many other roles, responsibilities and powers that belong to the states, is by you and I and local businesses getting involved in supporting political programs and efforts based on constitutional principles. The best way to do this is supporting result-oriented organizations designed to take back our lost liberties. The ultimate result-oriented effort is Republic Review. So please consider contributing to the show and the organizations and activities that we are supporting by going to reclaimingtherepublic.org and go to the contribution page, and you can become a listed supporter of liberty. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station.
That number to dial in is 215-TOP-TALK, 215-867-8255. And again, don't forget those three C's. And if you're ready to call in, the lines are open.
Okay, so as I was cut off because of the break, SDG&E in California was found guilty and complacent for failing to update and secure their power lines and do the due diligence that a power company should do, because too often they found that fires were being started because power lines were being, and it's not like trees were necessarily going into them, they were just, you know, falling apart. And they've been sued, and that's been a huge problem in California, but even a larger problem, having lived there for a long time, there was no good explanation other than arson, and they actually found plenty of arson involved. Now, as the time has grown over the past 20, 30 years, as people have moved away from California and up into the Pacific Northwest and so forth in these regions, it has just become a common thing. What is the aberration this year? Why are they only increasing? The fires are only increasing as the wind and the dryness, all of a sudden, every summer we've had these problems when it's gotten to the point where it's been dry enough and enough little wind, boom, we've got fires. to the magnitude this time that is multifold. And I'm just telling you that we don't even have a tip of the iceberg as to how many of these fires were really set off by arsons. These people were not players, because I'm going to give you the news on this, but I'm just going to front load this information that the people that are out starting these fires do not care about your property. They don't care about your life. The ends justify the means, and they are going to do whatever they can to invoke fear, to invoke fear, and to push you into a position where you have to go hide. Excuse me. So G. Edward Griffin reports hundreds of fires are raging across California, and, you know, still are. And they're just now starting to get them, you know, under control. Oregon, Washington, and California, and at least 20 people have died in California, 8 in Oregon, and 1 in Washington State, as firefighters struggle to contain these deadly fires. While leftists tried to claim the fires were caused by climate change, G. Edward Griffin, and this was a couple of weeks ago, posted that at least 6 arsonists, at least 6, have been arrested. A fisherman in Oregon filmed what happened to be arsonists in black hoodies setting fires. Anita Esquivel was associated in North California. Michael Jared Bacala was arrested in Oregon. A woman named Christine Comello and 3 unidentified men in separate fires were arrested in Washington State and facing charges. As a matter of fact, some of these folks have actually come right out and said that they're using fire as a weapon to further their cause of pushing America into a communistic state. Now, I'm inserting and I'm editorializing here. I'm not quoting these folks, but I am telling you that these people aren't just working in their own little echo chamber. They are getting orders. They're getting information. We need to do these things. And they're finding idiots to be willing to do, risk their lives, because there have been times where people have been stupid enough as an arsonist to go start a fire and not realize that they didn't have a way out and ended up killing themselves because they, you know, created a fire that ultimately ended their life. Anyway, the fact of the matter is, and you can actually start noticing that there have been other reports, and as a matter of fact, the Oregon Catalyst reported on Monday, September 14th. That was 2 weeks ago. We have collected over a dozen different examples of outdoor arson that have occurred in the past weeks from July until September across Oregon, Washington, and California. Folks, this news agency, and they've found that there was like 14, I believe they had 14 people that were identified as people who had been arrested for starting fires. And all 14 of these people, as a matter of fact, they even had their mugshots out there. These people were far out leftists, and they're white. And this is really pathetic. We actually have these people that are doing so much harm and so much damage. They don't have the money to pay. They don't. There is no mechanism to restore this stuff. The damages that are occurring to property, to life. Are you kidding me? These people need to be put, they need to be put away for life, and everybody else who is associated, aided, embedded, or anything like that, or have been communicating these types of things, they need to be arrested as well. And as a matter of fact, I firmly believe that we need to revisit the Tory Acts. We need to actually start passing laws that, you know, draw the line that says, look, if you support overthrowing our constitutional republic, you have no business being here. And so you either go to jail for life or we hang you for treason. Actually, no jail for life. Treason is treason. You need to be hanged. And so either you get hanged or you can pick your communist country that we will send you to with the clothes on your back. And there you go. That's all you get. I don't care how much money you have. I don't care what your assets and resources are. Just like the Tories, you will be escorted out of the United States with what you can wear on your body, and that is about it. And we will ship you out, and you will not be welcome back. You come back, and we will hang you for the crimes that you've committed of treason. It's that simple, folks. We have to start drawing the line. We understand. If you think that this is a cruel mentality, then you have to understand that if they have their way, they will kill you. They will do whatever is necessary because the ends justify the means. That's how they're wired. And so the only way people actually start changing their paradigm is when they finally, you know, I'll just use the come to Jesus term, when they finally come to the realization that, you know, we're not going to tolerate any of their crap, any of it. And so most people will either suppress it and or they'll start to change their mind. It's like, who moved my cheese? But until you force them, you get rid of the cheese or, you know, quit placating them and giving them cheese and say, look, the cheese is gone. Go. Anyway, I'm not sure if very many people understand Who Moved My Cheese, but anyway, it's a small, little, short little book about change and being open and quick in the process of recognizing and moving on that something has changed. Anyway, G. Edward Griffin reported in Minnesota last week, and actually this was probably 2 weeks ago, the Department of Justice issued a criminal complaint charging Michael Robert Solomon and Benjamin Ryan Teeter with attempting to provide material support to Hamas in the Middle East, a designated foreign terrorist organization. Journalist Chris Menahan says this is the same scheme the government used to entrap Muslims into advancing the neocon agenda in the Middle East. But now its purpose, supposedly, is to advance the narrative that white supremacists are behind the violence at Black Lives Matter, Antifa riots throughout the country. And it's all about white supremacists. So in other words, they're trying to create the persona. They're trying to create the paradigm that it's, you know, hey, it's all the whites that are trying to do. Yeah, they're not white supremacists. These people are ideologues who happen to be old white men like Soros, these elitists that want full control of every aspect of your life. It's that plain and simple. Gates, Zuckerberg, I mean, and it's not necessarily just the whites. These are literally the global elites, the billionaire club. And why is it that when people make that kind of money, they get sucked into this paradigm of trying to control the world? I don't know what happens. Do they go to a party and they, you know, put chemicals that they literally rewire their brains to think, okay, you're going to become a part of the Borg, whether you like it or not? Anyway, CBS News, USA Today, The Intercept, and The Jerusalem Post, and many other mainstream outlets are quick to describe these two men and the two men that we were just talking about, Michael Robert Solomon and Benjamin Ryan, to describe these two men as far-right boogaloo boy militias who want to start a race war. And Wikipedia claims that most of them are libertarian. To the contrary, Ryan Teeter says he is a left anarchist and a member of the LGBT community, adding, quote, people think I'm a part of a Nazi group. I'm not, close quote. Sometimes you'll get people on the left just like this who do not want to support the narrative, and they become a liability to the cause. So what ends up happening is that they kind of, you know, they take away the microphone or what have you. You know, it was McNichols and McVeigh, right? They're the two supposedly that blew up the building in Oklahoma. And if I remember correctly, McNichols didn't necessarily support the narrative, but McVeigh definitely wanted to go down in fame. And so they wanted, at least he wanted to get all the credit, because then at least he would be remembered for something. McNichols definitely wasn't necessarily on board with that narrative. And that just goes to show you that you just can't control that psyche of the individual when they have the opportunity to make a mark. We'll be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much.
Are you a patriotic proprietor of a business that is looking to get exposure on a fast-growing program? How would you like to get exposure on the only program on the air that provides an actual constitutional solution to all the federal government overreach and encroachments? If you understand the importance of educating the electorate, we would love to work with you in growing your business and revenues while you support the airing of our content on this station. Your support goes to growing the reach of this show and does not pay for elaborate salaries or highfalutin lifestyles. This show is growing fast, and we're also planning on airing the content about Republic Review on a video medium soon. If you'd like to be a part of history and the growth of the most relevant and result-oriented show on the air anywhere in the world, then just email me at info@reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can lock in exceptional pricing and great advertising opportunities. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process.
Okay, if you want to join in on the dialogue, you need to call 215-TOP-TALK. That's 215-867-8255.
Okay, so this next story is not a G. Edward Griffin need-to-know news story. This is actually one that came across the social media feed where a friend kind of sent it to me, and I forwarded it out to a couple of friends. This story was written by Tyler Durden, and it is at ZeroHedge.com, which is an ABC Media Limited corporation. The title of the story is, "In Unprecedented Monetary Overhaul, the Fed is preparing to deposit, quote, digital dollars, close quote, directly to each American." That, you just heard me correct. In other words, the Federal Reserve is now beginning to go down the cashless society start in, and this is all in a move to actually change their policies, because bottom line, all of the policies that they have been holding on to at the Fed have been deflationary. The way they've been injecting money into banks and so forth, they've proven it to be deflationary. So I've got the whole article kind of captured here, and I don't want to necessarily read it, but literally over the past few decades, they have proven that wages have become more stagnant, the prices of everything are equally going up. And the interesting thing is, and I've told people this, if you go and find out how many silver coins, because silver is probably the most stable out of the two currencies between, you know, a gold 1 ounce and a silver 1 ounce, because gold is one of those rare commodities. But silver is more of an accessible commodity, to where you could go and determine how many silver dollars, based on the value of silver back then and based on the value of silver today, how many silver dollars would buy, and what you'd need to do in the 1959 is like a Lincoln Continental, the base model of a Lincoln Continental, and the base model, because I think they still sell a Lincoln Continental, I don't know, but you could go to the last year that they made a base model of the Lincoln Continental and determine how much, based on silver dollars, it would take to purchase that vehicle. And you can determine, you know, well, how much have they put into it, and really change the price to warrant that inflation. But for the most part, it's kind of the same. Those types of things have been able to kind of maintain. And this is the amazing thing, because if you look at what goes into a car today versus what goes into a car way back then, there was a lot more manpower put in. And even though there's a lot of automated processes and a lot of technology, cars are dirt cheap. One of the things that I like pointing out is you can go buy a robot, a tape robot for storing data, for backing up your data. Go buy one of those and look at how much you're paying for that little box of metal with a little bit maybe of a software application that goes with it. But you're paying more for some of these boxes of these tape libraries, is what they call them. You're paying more for that than you are for a car. And look what a car gives you. Look what's offered within a car compared to the price you're paying for these little libraries, these Scalar 100s or what have you. Anyway, it's amazing, you know, how consistent the value of money, or at least at the silver commodity level, is. But the fact of the matter is, and this is what this Tyler is pointing out, is that the Fed has actually failed in trying to basically maintain some level of inflation to where they have been caught with their pants down in deflating our currency. And so, as he says right here, the Fed's failure to reach its inflation target, which prompted the U.S. central banks to radically overhaul its monetary dogma last month and unveil this flexible average inflation targeting, or FAIT, it's almost like fiat, right? Whereby the Fed will allow inflation to run hot without hiking rates. In other words, they're not going to try to chase the, you know, suppressing inflation anymore. In short, ever since the Fed launched, and again, I'm reading his column or this story, ever since the Fed launched QE and NIRP, it has been making the situation it has been trying to fix even worse while blowing the biggest asset price bubble in history. Moving on and on and on, they kind of get down to this, that the Fed basically wants to take, you know, direct action. And instead of throwing the money into the banks, where the banks loan money, because the banks are the only ones that are getting richer, what the Fed wants to do, what Congress is trying to do, and I truly believe that this is the move in the federal government taking control of paying you directly, and where everything is going to be moved towards a digital realm. But listen to what they're doing here. It took Congress too long to get money to the people in its old clunky way. And I'm adding a little bit here. I'm not citing, but you need to read the story. And so what they're trying to do is they're trying to go to a very quick way of being able to inject money into the American person's pocket so that they can quickly start spending that money. So in other words, they said, we need a separate infrastructure. The Fed could buy these bonds, supposedly that's what they're going to do, is go buy these fiat bonds or FAIT bonds, and quickly, without going into the private market. And on March 15th, they could have said, interest rates at now at zero, we're activating X amount of bonds and we'll be tracking the unemployment rate. If it increases above this level, we'll buy more bonds. The bonds will be on the asset side of the federal balance sheet, and the digital dollars in people's accounts will be on the liability side. Essentially, the Fed is proposing creating a hybrid digital legal tender, unlike reserves, which are stuck within the financial system and which it can deposit directly into the U.S. consumers' accounts. In short, they're summarizing, the Fed is planning to send money directly to Americans in the next crisis. And what they're going to be doing is they're going to be creating these bonds that can actually gain interest and so forth, so that they can actually throw this money straight into your digital bank account. Now, that what this means is there's going to be some significant changes on the other end, because they're going to have these direct accesses straight into your accounts. And I don't know if you've noticed, but did you get a notification from your bank this year when you received your tax refund? I sure did. And my bank said, either you're receiving stimulus money or you're receiving your tax refund, because they're seeing the money coming from the source, the federal bank. Anyway, get into this next G. Edward Griffin news, and this actually happens to be on currency. Despite Washington, D.C., or the finances, and the Federal Reserve injecting more and more money into the real economy, creating unstable artificial growth, the economy has hit a roadblock. Here's the kicker. This is what you need to know. Yelp reported that 97, almost 100,000 businesses, or about 60% of the closed businesses, will never reopen their doors again. Yelp notes restaurants, shopping and retail, and beauty and spas have been damaged the most, with temporary and permanent closures since March 1st. Professional services like roofing, landscaping, accountants, and lawyers experience some of the smallest declines. Now, I'm here to tell you, my friends, that the fact is, here you have evidence, 60% of the businesses that have closed are permanently now closed. Make the Democrats own that they are the shutdown. They're the destroyers of our economy. They're the party of shutting down, for, you know, basically forcing you to do their will or to do nothing and stay home. They are basically the jailers of our society, and they are determining whether you can be free or not free. Yeah, we'll let you go out to eat. No, we're not letting you go out to eat. You can only drive around in your car. Are you kidding? What the heck is going on in America? Why is it that nobody's taking this stuff seriously anymore? Again, as we've got this one more story. In a recent protest against the Republican National Convention in Charlotte, North Carolina, Black Lives Matter Antifa agitators chanted, F you, Jesus Christ. After Sam Betha, a Black Street evangelical, showed up, and he's a preacher on the street, and he started preaching and started basically praying and so forth for these people. This is when they basically attacked him and they attacked Jesus Christ. Why? Because they don't want to get, and this is why you're not hearing about this, the news media does not want this narrative to get into the, you know, into the news, so that the religious leaning people, because they know that there's people watching, a good percentage of them still lean religious. And they don't want this to get these people up in arms to recognize that this is a war on religion. I'm telling you, the sentiments of these people are completely intolerant towards your right of religious expression, your right of freedoms in any form or fashion. You either do what you're told or you will be shut down. That's where they're going. That is their paradigm. And that is the only thing that they will accept. As you know, they are a very intolerant sort, the left is. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're Reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. And in our next episode, we will be getting into the amendments of the Constitution. God bless.
Reclaiming the Republic is more than an educational radio show. My intent is to also work with you and local leadership to promote matters of the Constitution and self-governance. This way we can all promote constitutional awareness within our communities and with our elected officials and public leaders. If you love liberty and sovereignty and recognize the federal tyranny that is threatening our lives, then we are asking for your help. And here are a few ways you can help. Spread the word about this radio show, Reclaiming the Republic. It is the only radio show in in the world asserting a constitutional solution to federal overreach. Download and share our podcast and content. Read, like, follow, and share our Mobiusstrip Press and Reclaiming the Republic pages on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter at Mobiusstrip News. Get informed about local groups in the area and get involved. Most importantly, become a constitutional warrior with your local leaders and demand that they begin applying constitutional tests to what they are doing and who they are supporting. Thank you.